Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour two on a Thursday. NBA draft is tonight. There's some trade rumors out there with Ben Simmons, Buddy Hield. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Philadelphia is willing to trade Ben Simmons. Apparently they want an all-star in return. Buddy Hield, Lakers. Lakers have two or three things they're talking about. I don't think any of them make the team significantly better. That's why I haven't given a lot of credibility to the Laker rumors. Kyle Kuzma averages 14, 15 a game. He's a solid player. You'd get rid of him and get Buddy Hield. I think it's kind of a wash. Hield's a better three-point shooter. That matters. But Laker season's going to come down. Is LeBron engaged and ready to go? And is Anthony Davis healthy? If they are, they'll be a really good basketball team that matches up, actually. Would match up well with Brooklyn and Milwaukee in the East and with everybody in the West. So that's kind of where we fall today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are things?
I am great. I know we're not talking NBA season yet, but I can just see the Warriors sitting back like everyone's forgotten about us. We've got two picks in this draft.
Two lottery picks.
7 and 14.
Yep. Do you couple those and get in the top four? That's something to consider. Like if you're Detroit, one player's not changing anything. So if I'm Detroit and Golden State says, we'll give you the 7 and the 14 for your one.
And why not?
I get two starters.
They're going to have Steph, Clay, and Draymond back.
So, to me, when you're bad, nobody in this draft is going to change anything. But if you get two starters, and this draft has got starters all the way down to about the 20th pick. Now, if you get a 17th or 18th guy, you're probably not going to start as a rookie.
Right.
But this is a good draft. I mean, yeah, there's four great, great players at the top, all domestic kids. We've seen them play. And then after that, there's a bunch of good players. The kid I talk about is Chris Duarte from Oregon, who's a nice player, can drive, score, shoot, create his own shot. People have him going at 19. He's a nice player. So if he goes at 19, this is a real draft. He'll start within a year. Now, he's older. I think he's 23 or 24. He may not start as a rookie, but by year two, Chris Duarte is a starter for a long time in the NBA.
But you also know what body type and what kind of player you're getting.
Yeah. His ceiling's a little lower, but he can play in this league and start in this league. So it's a good draft tonight. The GM of the Packers is talking. Aaron talked yesterday. I just said, if you look at the recent history of the NFL, the more noise you have in the offseason, the worse the season is. It's just, that's why when Seattle, Russell Wilson complained, they fixed it fast. Seattle did not want that puppy to drag on. They wanted to get out of the noise business. We've seen Philadelphia implode with noise. Houston Texans implode with noise. The Pittsburgh Steelers underachieve with noise. Russell Wilson complained. Seattle had no interest dragging that puppy on. They solved his issue, sat down with Russell, and 2 weeks later, it was over. Green Bay, it's just taking time. And even yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, there's no resolution to a lot of this stuff. Brian Gutekunst is getting Randall Cobb. Doesn't really want to, obviously. He's expensive, old, with an injury history. So how does this all end? I how when you were a kid, or maybe still as an adult, you grab a pocket schedule and you go WL, WL. And I did that with the Packers this morning. I've predicted them to dominate their division, potentially going 6-0 in division, 5-1 or 6-0, but being a very average team to below average out of division. Their schedule is rough. They play the AFC North and the NFC West, in my opinion, the two best divisions in football out of division. So this is a rough schedule for them. So I think they beat the rebuilding Saints in week one and they crushed the Lions in week two. I do not think they match up with the 49ers. I didn't last year, the year before, and I don't now. They lose. They'll beat the Steelers, bad offensive line. I think the Steelers are going to be a rough watch. They'll beat the Bengals, but at Cincinnati, it's a real offense. It'll be a real game. They'll beat the Bears as well. No guarantee. Matt Nagy's been very good in September and early October as a head coach. They will lose to Washington. Yes, Green Bay. Washington's defensive line and veteran head coach, I think, are going to maul that Packer front. My gut feeling is they will beat Arizona. And then they have to go at Kansas City and the Seahawks back-to-back. That feels like a two-game losing streak to me. I think those are... I think Kansas City's a much better team and Seattle slightly better. I think they'll beat the Vikings at Minnesota. That is no guarantee. I think Minnesota is one of my best over bets on the year. I think they're going to be a much improved team. I think they lose to the Rams. I do. The big Fox game with Matt Stafford getting a little, finally, a little comeuppance on the Packers. Then I think they beat the Bears. Then they have two brutal games at Baltimore, L, and Cleveland. Cleveland's got a better roster than Green Bay. And Cleveland will be fighting like mad to win that division. So I'll give you an LL, and then they win against the Vikings and at Detroit to end the season. I don't think that's unrealistic. That is what Vegas has, 10-7. It's what I feel. Should they beat Washington and Cleveland at home? Maybe. But those are really, really good football teams. And I think they dominate in their division, go 4-7 outside of the NFC North, and they end up a playoff team. They're not a one or a two seed, and I think it ends with them winning their division, losing pretty quickly in the playoffs. Aaron's not happy. Green Bay's not happy. And then Miami, Washington, and Denver, and the Raiders make huge moves to get Aaron Rodgers. That's my gut. That's how I'll put it on the line. I do think they win their division and dominate what is mostly a dysfunctional division with Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and Jared Goff and Dan Campbell. That's not going to be great in Detroit. Leroy Butler, 12 years in the NFL, back-to-back Hall of Fame finalist, four-time Pro Bowler, popular talk show host who has the heart of the city. He knows what people are talking about, and that's why I love bringing him on. Leroy is now joining us live, a Super Bowl champ, former Packer safety. So I asked you this during the summer.
Yep, I remember.
And you said, listen, half my audience is tired of Aaron, so I'm going to ask you this morning, after the press conference, what was the reaction to his press conference yesterday?
I think a lot of people have still gotten to like overload because of the Bucks won a championship. Bucks in six, by the way. And Giannis took over as the top guy in this state. But after that press conference, I think it's the millennials are like, give Aaron what he wants, do what he wants. The older people, my age, 53, well, wait a minute. This team has paid you a lot of money, and should they have brought back Randall Cobb? No. Why would they do that? So when they see that they did bring him back, people say, well, Aaron got everything he wanted. But Matt LaFleur, at the end of the day, he's giddy because the only thing he wanted was Aaron Rodgers to be in the building, and they got that.
You know, it's very funny that you pointed that out. So I went to a lot of websites yesterday looking at the reaction, and you really nailed it. Young millennials, younger fans are on Aaron's side. Older fans are like,
yes,
quarterbacks aren't general managers. What are you talking about? It's really funny. Here's what worries me, though. Is that, you know, Aaron listed 12 of his buddies who should have been brought back, and I went and looked at all those players this morning. Nine of them, I think Green Bay made the right move. I think Micah Hyde, Casey Hayward, you can argue they should have brought him back. They popped. Charles Woodson moved to safety. Mm-hmm. Back then, nobody's going to pay a safety big money. I totally understood that. Yep. I got it. But he did. That was the moment of the press conference. I was a little uneasy as he kind of picked apart their bad decisions. Leroy, I didn't think those were all bad decisions.
Well, none of them really were bad, but I think some of the one name you didn't see on there was Greg Jennings. I thought maybe he would fight more to keep Greg Jennings more, but I think more so it was Jordy Nelson. Because when Jordy Nelson left, you would think that broke up the chemistry. And Jordy Nelson had one more year. I think he was like, he led the Raiders with like yardage or whatever. But for the most part, he's basically saying, like Udonis Haslam in Miami Heat, he's not going to play, but he's there to mentor the players. I don't see a problem with that for the most part. But when you say that, you know, Green Bay is not the culture, they're only coming to play with me and they don't like the city, people my age is going to have a problem with that because it is called Title Town. So when you look at it, you look at some of the things they've done and what he has said, it just looked like a guy that wanted a lot of things in a checkbox, Colin, and they tried to give it to him. February, he wanted extension. They didn't give it to him. They offered it to him in May. He said no. It's not about the money. It's always about the money for rich people, by the way. But it's just how you give it to me. So it was like a guy, I want to apologize. I don't know how, but I think, again, it's going to be split by the age difference.
You know, Leroy Butler joining us, four-time Pro Bowler, back-to-back years, Hall of Fame finalist, great, great player, now a talk show host, and really has a sense of the city and the town. You know, any time, and I used the analogy yesterday of a divorce. If you and your wife had decided, hey, we're going to get divorced in a year. Okay, there's going to be tension. Trust is going to be a problem. If everything's perfect, you can get through it. But if there's problems with the kids or the bank account, it's going to be finger pointing, right? Right?
And yes,
So I look at this Green Bay schedule. Leroy, there is about an eight-week gauntlet. There's some two-game losing streaks in here. That's not early, not the last two, the first two. I look at that schedule, and Leroy, I just think to myself, we got finger pointing in October and November. That's what that schedule looks like to me. Am I wrong?
Well, slightly. I think they'll win 11 games. I think for the most part, possibly 12. But when you win 13 games back-to-back years and then both championship games, you're supposed to have a hard schedule. I mean, but some of them I think you nailed. And I think one of them was the Washington football team, week 7. I think that would be a loss. But I think for the most part, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a pretty good year. Davante Adams is going to get his extension. No worry there. And if David Bakhtiari comes back, they're going to have a very good offensive line. That said, this defense was a top 9 defense. And it brought in Joe Barry from the Rams. And it kind of kept everything together and they're moving some pieces around now to make the secondary better. They got Stokes from Georgia. The team is just pretty good. Even if Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have played, I think they could have won 8 or 9 games with Jordan Love. That's how good the team is.
Let's talk Jordan Love, because if Jordan is ready to play by the end of preseason, this gets much easier and much less expensive for the Brian Gutekunst, right? So give me every source you have, everything you're hearing. What's the latest on Jordan Love? I joke on this show, I've seen more footage of Bigfoot. I've never seen it. What is he? Who is he? What's he look like?
Well, I think the most part, the thing about Aaron Rodgers not being there, you were able to see him. You would never know how good Jordan Love is going to be as a quarterback or Matt LaFleur as a coach until Aaron Rodgers leaves. So the good thing about it, Matt LaFleur has said, we got one playbook, okay? Now, the plays will be different, who calls them, how you audible. But Jordan Love, is going to be a very good quarterback. A lot of teams, the Justin Fields, Trey Lances of the world, a lot of teams want these quarterbacks that can get outside the pocket with strong arms. Green Bay feel like they have that. Now, the young people, Colin, they've said, get rid of him. Add 2 more years to Aaron Rodgers' contract and just tell everybody I was wrong in drafting Jordan Love. If they do that, Colin, then Gutekunst can't enter the building.
Right.
Because you moved up with a 4th-round pick to get him and say he's the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. No, you listen, you'd have to get a new GM. GMs, it takes a lot for them to move off the quarterback they moved up to draft, because what it's basically saying is you completely whiffed on the most important position, and Gutekunst
does exactly.
They do not want to do that. All right. Great seeing you again. As always, the voice of reason in Milwaukee Sports Radio. Good seeing you.
Thanks a lot, Colin. Take care, Joy.
All right. Good stuff. I have not eaten now in 17 hours. I'm not making a big deal out of it, but I thought that interview was lucid, strong, dynamic, despite the fact I can hear my stomach growling.
I am not envious of you, and I think you're doing, I'm very proud of you, because you don't understand how much Colin eats throughout the day, so this is like a very big deal.
29 more hours to go. I can do Jell-O, but it can't be red. Everything's got a restriction. I can have liquid, but it's got to be clear. I can have coffee, there can be no milk. And I can have Jell-O, but it can't be red. And I'm like, well, I like red Jell-O. That's the only Jell-O I like.
You eat red Jell-O?
Well, I did when I was 9, but that's what I'm limited to. So I'm going to have some today.
Why don't you eat the chocolate Jell-O?
I don't think I can do that. It's got to be like translucent. This whole thing is, we've got to come up with some kind of new technology. Just go in there and do stuff and get out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. And then I talked to my pharmacist yesterday. He goes, I'm doing it Monday. And I'm like, good luck not eating. It's a community, a brotherhood now of guys.
You should definitely do it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, the U.S. men's national team is back in action with the Gold Cup final on the horizon. The young stars of the U.S. men's national team face a huge challenge as they battle against Qatar in the semifinals. It all kicks off tonight at 7 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Yep, watched almost every one of those United States men's national team Gold Cup matches. Some frustrating, some not. By the way, this is official. The Jets have agreed to terms with Zach Wilson, their rookie quarterback. I have my doubts about him. His uncle, by the way, is the founder of JetBlue with a $400 million net worth. He comes from a lot of money. He's aware of it. And he was, you know, he made the Jets know, I'm not coming to camp unless you pay me. And so they have. Of the five first-round quarterbacks, he's the one to me that I think has big bust potential. I think there's five quarterbacks taken. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is can't miss. He's going to be good. Really, really good. Justin Fields and Trey Lance have enormous upsides, and I like where both landed. Mac Jones will not be a star, but he did land in the perfect spot in New England. And Zach Wilson, there's a lot of red flags. He has a small frame. In my opinion, he plays way too much off script like Johnny Manziel. BYU to New York City, rookie head coach, big family money. Now, big family money, you say, Cowherd, what does that mean? It's the hardest position in the league to play. You get hit a lot. There's no kids that quarterback in the NFL that grew up with rich dads. It just doesn't work that way. We've talked about this before. If you go look at the lineage of what works in the NFL, it's often guys from smaller football programs that have had to really earn their way. Bama guys struggle. Ohio State guys struggle. You know, it's the Miami of Ohio, NC State, Cal guys. You don't have five-star athletes around you everywhere. So we'll see. I mean, I think this division is so tough on quarterbacks. Buffalo, Sean McDermott, Belichick, New England, Brian Flores. I would argue that's three of the top five defensive coaches in football. And you're a rookie quarterback with a very spotty offensive line. I don't love the ownership. I think they have a good GM, decent weapons. But so he signed. We'll see how it goes. This worries me. You know, and I also think, New York media is always, you know, pretty tough. New York media is a media you have to win over. The Boston media treats everybody great initially, and then no matter if you're Ted Williams, they bury you when you leave. New York media is tough early, but once you're successful, Joe Torre, Bill Parcells, they're a fan for life. They'll have your back forever. Eli Manning. I mean, they were screaming when Eli Manning got benched and he hadn't played well for 3 years. Very loyal city in New York. So Zach Wilson has got to be great. It's not Boston. He won't be given Mac Jones. Oh, you're going to do it, kid. You go. No, in New York, you got to prove you're tough enough to win. And if you do, you got the keys to the city forever. But I think what'll make it tougher, this is my projection here, Sam Darnold goes to a much better offensive team, and he is going to have success in a division with three rebuilding teams. His, the Saints, and Atlanta. So I think Sam Darnold's going to have a pretty decent year. Maybe not a Pro Bowl, but he's going to put some numbers up. I mean, they got two good backs, three good receivers. You know, they got two starting tackles that can play. So if Zach starts struggling and he's 1-5 and Sam is like 3-2 and looks good, chirp, 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 you're going to have that external pressure land in your lap. So, but he signed today. That's good. You don't want him out of camp in a division with you. You want this kid to get every rep, every snap, every practice, every throw, because this division is a defensive gauntlet. Buffalo's defense last year had no pass rush. They addressed it. They addressed it in free agency in the draft. Miami, their roster was 10-6 last year. It's absolutely better this year. They went out and got real speed on the perimeter. In New England, they had all those opt-outs. Cam Newton comes back now, year in the program, preseason. New England's going to be a much better football team. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
All right, what to do with Ben Simmons? The 76ers are continuing to gauge the trade market for offers for Ben Simmons this offseason. The team reportedly is placing a very steep asking price on him. Adrian Wojnarowski said that they are looking to get something similar to what the Rockets got for James Harden. Harden was sent to Brooklyn in a four-team deal that saw Houston get four first-round picks.
Yeah, no.
Four pick swaps. And three players, including all-star Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, that you're not going to get close to that. First of all, Harden is a top five offensive player in this league. Defense is important. But Rudy Gobert is not Giannis because Giannis has an offensive game.
Correct.
So Ben Simmons is worth the first-round pick. I've said this before. If the Warriors, Joy, said, listen, we'll give you the number seven lottery pick, Andrew Wiggins and a pick swap. Okay. Because Andrew Wiggins on that team with Embiid actually would be a nice player.
Right.
And maybe they'd want James Wiseman to be thrown in. But you're not going to get an all-star in multiple picks for Ben Simmons. First of all, forget the fact he's terrified to shoot. And I go back to this, Joy. I'm not sure he's indifferent about getting better. Like, if a guy works hard and there's limitations, that's my career. The ceiling's low, but I work my arse off.
Yeah, okay.
But with Ben Simmons, what scares me, it's very Jay Cutler. Oh, I see the talent, but I think you're every other week you're indifferent to the game. I can't go there. I don't believe. I think, Joy, you can coach up almost anything. You cannot coach up indifference. That comes from.
No, I mean, that you can't coach effort. And that's not to say that Ben Simmons doesn't try, but it's very obvious that either he is incapable of shooting the basketball
or
he is not interested in working on shooting the basketball.
Okay, that's worse.
Well, both are not good situations at this point in his career. I don't know how he all of a sudden just comes out and becomes this offensive juggernaut. Not that he needs to be that, but to have a reliable offensive game is pretty important. Now, I agree with you. I think he would be great with a team like Golden State because he doesn't need to be that.
And it, by the way, they're a small team. I mean, they have Wiseman, who's not really on the timeline of Steph or Clay or Dre. So I think if they give you a seven and a Wiseman, now it gets it because Wiseman would be a top three pick this year. So you'd have two lottery picks.
I just think he needs to go somewhere where the fit is right.
No question.
Where he's not going to be counted on for any kind of offensive contribution. But I do think Ben Simmons still, I maintain, he has a lot of value because he is an elite defensive player.
And distributor.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. His average, he scores. He just can't shoot. I think Golden State works. I also think Portland's fascinating.
Yes.
Because Dame's a great offensive player, but is small and a defensive liability. Simmons is the opposite. So if you went, you made him a point forward. Portland needs somebody that can handle the ball and defend on the wing.
The only issue with Portland is expectations, because we know what Dame is. And we know what he is offensively. So if you bring Ben Simmons into a situation where Dame is leaving, he's going to assume that role of Damian Lillard in Portland. And that is a big cross to bear.
Okay, how about this?
Being that that's also not his style of play.
Okay, so you're the GM of Portland. They don't have any draft picks. I give you CJ McCollum, averages 23 a game.
Yeah.
Okay, I give you Robert Covington, who was a Sixer. I like Robert. I think he can play for Ben Simmons. I would take that because I got two guys that can hit a three.
The Sixers are not going to do that.
Okay, well,
the Sixers, if this is true and they want what Houston got for James Harden, which I don't think is.
They're not going to be close.
I don't think it's realistic, and they're not the same player. Harden is a significantly better player than Ben Simmons.
And Harden.
I don't want to hear about the defensive side of it. Like, the game is an offensive game now. Yes, defense still has some value. We saw that in these playoffs, but you're not relying on James Harden for defense.
Didn't Harden lead the NBA in assists? Harden now has become a top three scorer and a top three assist guy.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, he kept that team afloat this during the regular season.
When Katie was hurt, he kept them winning.
Yeah, they're not going to get... I would be shocked if they got anything close.
But here's what's crazy about this.
They got for Harden.
So I could have Embiid, CJ McCollum, Tobias Harris, Robert Covington in the East. That feels like an Eastern Conference Finals team to me.
But what is Portland getting?
Ben Simmons.
I don't think it's enough. I don't know. Maybe it works if Dame stays there. But if Dame is the one leaving, CJ maybe. But if Dame is the one leaving, that's too much to put on Ben.
There's an old saying, curiosity killed the cat. Indifference killed the all-star. If you're an all-star player, but I feel you're indifferent, I struggle to trade for you. I can't coach indifference out of you.
No, you and I are the same. We don't like working and dealing with people that just don't care. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's fine.
It's a show.
Yeah, we messed the segment up. It's fine. The graphic's wrong. It's fine. It's like,
not who we are here. America's honesty brokers. We're grinders.
Grinders. So Davante Adams and the Packers reportedly broke off their long-term extension talks recently. He's entering the final year of his current deal, and he made it very clear he wants to earn what he feels he's worth.
I like to say that I've outperformed my past contract or my current contract. You know, I'm not a baby, so I'm not gonna not show up, and I'm not complaining about it. At the end of the day, I'm not poor right now. You know, I'll be okay to get through and go try to win a Super Bowl again. But what other profession do you take less than what you have earned? You know, that's not how it goes. And I've earned the right to be paid highest in the league.
Well, see, he's earned the right to be paid a lot. Highest in the league is always, that lasts about a month, and then somebody else. He's earned the right to be very, very well compensated.
He's the next. He's next man up. So next man up gets paid the highest in the league. I mean, he is arguably, him and DeAndre Hopkins are the one and two in the league. He has the numbers to certainly support being the highest paid in the league, and he's going to continue to produce as he's the highest paid in the league. So it's not one of those situations where you're paying him for what he's done and he's not going to continue to produce that. DeAndre Hopkins is currently the highest paid, and he, per average, makes $27.25 million per year.
Dang.
Davante Adams is slated to make about $16.8 million this season. So there's a significant difference in pay there. If I'm Davante Adams, I'm looking at it like this. If I'm going to stay in Green Bay, I absolutely have to be the highest paid in the league, because I don't know who's throwing to me past this year. So if I'm going to sign long term, and I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there, I need to be the highest paid, and I need a really, really good contract with lots of guaranteed money.
That's just so much money for a receiver. It's crazy.
Well, look at it this way. If you're Green Bay, if you're going to lose Aaron Rodgers next year, which we are all assuming that this is the last dance for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. There's a lot of bad blood here. I don't see how they fix this after this season. I think this is just a Band-Aid for the situation. If Aaron Rodgers is gone and you have Jordan Love there, who, even if Jordan Love is good and competent, is not going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers next year, don't you want a target like Davante Adams available for Jordan Love? I would. So if either way, I believe he should be paid, and I don't think it's a bad move for Green Bay to do that.
Yeah.
So he will likely get paid. I don't know what the holdup is right now. I do think that Davante and Aaron kind of aligned over the last week to kind of push
totally
this over the finish
totally
line for
that.
This season, but I think he'll end up getting his money. So speaking of receivers, this situation is very strange. Michael Thomas will miss the start of the season thanks to an ankle surgery he had in June. Sean Payton is clearly very unhappy that his star receiver didn't get the procedure earlier.
It appears we're going to have to spend some time without him. It's disappointing, and we'll work through it with the other players that are here. But the surgery took place, and obviously, we would have liked that to have happened earlier than later. And quite honestly, it should have.
A really aggressive call out by Sean Payton.
No, it's very much Scottie Pippen, where it's like, dude, you wasted 2 months. Get your surgery.
I don't. Look, I know it happens, obviously, but I have a really hard time believing that he purposely did it to spite the Saints.
I don't, because last year, the stuff I was hearing from sources I trust, the relationship was weird.
They do have a weird relationship. Now, it could be one of those things where it's not necessarily that Michael Thomas is trying to spite the Saints, but he did not agree with their consultation, or his doctors were saying something different than the team doctors, similar to Kawhi Leonard's Spurs situation. Like, that's what could be going on here. I don't know. I struggle with a player of Michael Thomas's caliber purposely missing up to almost 6 games of the season because he didn't want to have surgery when the Saints recommended or wanted him to have it. But either way, Sean Payton coming out and saying that is very aggressive, especially for these times where stars are getting what they want and trades are flying around. And I don't know. This is just, overall, the Saints, I'm very concerned about this season. They don't have their quarterback set. Michael Thomas is their star, one of their stars in the offensive side of the ball. He's not going to be available for 6 weeks. This is going to be a strange year for the Saints. So finally, Damian Lillard denied he was planning to ask for a trade from the Blazers, but there's still a lot of rumors about his future. The latest report said that he would be willing to forego some money in order to win a title. But Lillard is shutting that down too, responding to the report on Twitter with a facepalm emoji. The tweet says, sources say Damian Lillard is willing to forego paychecks to get a title team if it comes to that. His teammate CJ McCollum also weighed in, tweeting, bruh, now he's saying you're giving bread back. And Lillard responded, and you know that ain't true. It's getting out of hand, bruv. So basically...
Well, Dame's reputation is he's very gronk. He's very frugal. He's very smart with his money.
I hadn't heard that, but he has a lot of different avenues of income coming in. Yeah, so if you don't know the Gronk story, Gronk doesn't spend any of his salary money.
Kevin
he lives
Garnett.
Off of his endorsement deals, which is very, very smart.
Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Gronk are legendary for being really smart with their money, and Dame is known as somebody... He doesn't waste it. Like, it's business or it's basketball, he doesn't waste it.
Yeah, for as much of a partier as Gronk is, he's not the guy spending the money on the bottles at the club.
No.
He's going to the club where they're giving them the free bottles, which is what you should do. No, I don't believe that he's going to give money back. I do think that down the line, he could, if he's restructuring a contract or he's signing a new contract, he would take less money to play with, you know, other players if that's what he wants to do, which is not really Dame's reputation either, because everyone is saying he's loyal and he's going to stay in Portland. But you remember the big three in Miami did that, despite all the criticism. Bosh, Wade, and LeBron took less money so that they could fit and stay and play together. So it's not unheard of, but I don't know that he's going to be giving money back to get someone there.
They're in an interesting situation because I think they need to do something big, and Ben Simmons may be the move. And I do think they have the pieces. CJ McCollum, because he plays next to Dame, like Klay Thompson. People don't talk about Klay because he plays next to Steph. Nobody talks about CJ because he plays next to Dame. He averages 23 a night. It's like a real...
No, he's a very reliable, consistent player.
In the West, which is better than the East, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It's funny. It is July... Have I mentioned I'm having a procedure tomorrow and am currently working under major duress? Anyway, so it's July and I get two amendments to my NFL predictions. I'm not making one today.
Oh, okay.
But I will tell you because I want to wait. I'm going to make an amendment in about 2 weeks and then I'm going to wait, you know, week before the start.
Right.
But I've already got two changes already because of what has happened. It just goes to show you in this league. Folks, the average game is decided by a field goal. And I think two teams I think less of today, and I'll talk about that just on stuff that's happened. It's July.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Endless hot water. Choose Navien. 15-year limited warranty. Navien tankless water heaters. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Endless hot water. Only heat it when you need it. So it's July. I make my NFL predictions about the time the schedules come out. And I do it throughout the course of the year. And then I make my last big one. The schedules come out. I come on a week later and say, okay, here we go. You know, here's kind of going to be my predictions. And I get two amendments, right? And I will make one amendment in about 3 weeks. And we get through the first couple weeks of games. And then I'll make my final amendment. As I always say, the Constitution has had like 26 amendments. I get two. Okay. So I've already got two. I'll tell you about right now. I'm not going to make them official yet, but I had the LA Rams at 11-6. I think that division's really good. I'm going to put the Rams at, instead of 11-6, I'm going to put them at 10-7. They lost Cam Akers. And the reason it's profound is Sean McVay's offense. We've seen this before. When they didn't have Todd Gurley at full strength, it's not the same offense. When they don't have Cam Akers, they don't have a number one running back. And they gave up Malcolm Brown, went to Miami. Now, that was not a big newsworthy move, but Malcolm Brown was their power running back. He was a very good power back. He was a very good two. He was an off-speed pitch. So now you don't have your number one back, the wiggle back, 4.5 yards to carry, and you don't have Malcolm Brown. So this is not going to be the same offense. And I think Cam Akers is a really special player. I like him more than most. I think he's really, really good. He was a high school quarterback. He did not have a lot of wear on those tires. He could have been a 5 or 6 year running back. So he gets hurt. They don't have any depth. They don't have a number one. Right now, I don't even know if they have a two. So now the good news is there are backs out there that can do a little bit of what he can do. So I've already downgraded them. I have Seattle now winning the division and the Rams finishing second because of Cam Akers. I think he's worth a win. I'm not saying, you know, he's worth a half a point a game, but over the course of a season, 17 games, half a point adds up. I think they lose a game if they can't make a move at running back. The second one is one Joy just talked about. Michael Thomas won't play for the first 6 games. Not only that, but the relationship is clearly strained between Sean Payton and Michael Thomas. So now you've got Tampa could be better than last year. Carolina's offense will be much better. Matt Rhule year 2. Atlanta went and got Kyle Pitts with their offensive players. So I don't know if Atlanta's any good, but they're going to score a lot of points this year in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, Arthur Smith, Kyle Pitts, they were good last year offensively. They have upgraded coaches offensively and a transformational tight end talent. I had them 9-8. This morning I'd put the Saints at 8-9, and I'm not sure if they're not a 6 or a 7 win team. This is absolutely something. So this is an offensive league now. You can't lose a star running back, and you can't lose a star receiver and say, yeah, same old. It doesn't work that way. Both Carolina and Atlanta are going to have significantly more athletic juice in their offenses. And both have clever, smart offensive coaches that can go toe-to-toe with Sean and dial up plays. So, those are amendments coming. By the way, yesterday, Aaron Rodgers held court. The Packers have done their own stuff today. The GM, Brian Gutekunst, talked. The prediction I made that when Aaron did finally talk, and I did appreciate his honesty and his transparency yesterday, he got up and talked for the better part of a half hour. I told you, one of the reasons Aaron was not going to get quoted during this entire journey is because he wanted culpability. He wanted the deniability. He wanted the ability to go, hey, the media is just making stuff up. So here was Aaron yesterday.
What would you say is the biggest misconception of this entire process?
That the media loves to make stories when there's not enough content to put out there. Look, I realize, you know, there were times I could have said something, but I firmly believe that there is wisdom in silence. And also, I love this city, this organization, and I didn't want to get into a pissing match with a team that's employed me for 16 years, paid me a lot of money.
Okay, so we made stuff up. He follows that by going into a long story about this was a 30-minute press conference, just some of the disagreements with he and the Packers.
When the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension, you know, based on my cap number this season, next season. It seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation, not until into May. And that to me seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, some security. And the boss says, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling.
So Aaron there is acknowledging he went back after his great season and they had a disagreement. And then he's acknowledging he got another job offer. That has been detailed by Paul Allen in Minnesota, voice of the Vikings, long-standing broadcaster in the NFL, that says the Niners wanted him and the Packers turned him down before the draft. So he let the cat out of the bag a little bit. My whole point is, he's acknowledging two major disagreements with management in the offseason. And he's the MVP of the league. We're going to talk about this. He's not Blaine Gabbert. He's not Andy Dalton. I mean, we talked about Dak's contract for a year and a half. This is the MVP of the league with a top three iconic franchise. Cowboys, Steelers, Packers. That's the big three. Maybe throw in the Bears. Giants. So this was very predictable. Don't say anything. The media is making it up, but then you contradict yourself by going in on two major disagreements with your management. Well, of course we're going to talk about it. You're Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we spend segments, days on marginal B, Paul George, B-plus NBA players. We're not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers in America's most popular sport? Come on. We didn't make stuff up. There's real disagreements and real tension here. Escape QuickBooks. Quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle. The number one financial system. NetSuite. Time to graduate. NetSuite.com/Herd. NetSuite.com/Herd. Faster, quicker. NetSuite.